About 1,000 Iraqis have been violently killed. Saturday's massive truck bomb attack at an outdoor marketplace killed 132 people. The day after that massive blast, the Iraqi government accused Syria of fomenting violence in Iraq and harboring insurgents. This is the Quality News Network. The Senate appears headed for a showdown over a non-binding resolution to oppose President Bush's 21,000 troop surge in Iraq. Republicans say they will block the vote. The Democrats need 60 votes to end the debate and put the measure to a vote. President Bush presented Congress today with his $2.9 trillion budget. The Democrats, now in control of Congress, criticized the plan, and even a Republican admits it will be difficult to pass. As part of the budget, President Bush wants the tax cuts from his first term to be made permanent. He is also looking for cuts in the government's major health care programs, Medicare and Medicaid. Overall, the Pentagon's budget request for 2008 is just under $625 billion, an increase of about $25 billion from 2007, or more than 11%. In Baghdad today, several car bomb blasts in different neighborhoods killed 38 people. Around 100 were wounded. Iraq's Interior Ministry reports that over the past week, about 1,000 Iraqis have been violently killed. Saturday's massive truck bomb attack at an outdoor marketplace killed 132 people. The day after that massive blast, the Iraqi government accused Syria of fomenting violence in Iraq and harboring insurgents. The allegation comes weeks after the two neighboring countries resumed diplomatic ties. The U.S. military said two American soldiers died yesterday in Iraq. The U.S. death toll in the Iraq war is at least 3,098. In Gaza, another ceasefire between Hamas and Fatah was declared Sunday night. Last week, at least 28 people were killed and more than 230 were wounded in factional violence. A leading Japanese newspaper says North Korea is demanding 500,000 tons of oil annually in exchange for abandoning its nuclear reactor. Six-party talks on North Korea's nuclear weapons program will resume in Beijing Thursday. The Lewis Scooter Libby perjury trial today, audio recordings of the former vice presidential aide will be presented and then released to the public. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is one step closer to a 2008 presidential run. He has filed papers declaring a statement of candidacy with the Federal Election Commission. The Northern Plains and the Great States are experiencing an Arctic cold wave. Schools have shut down and some train service has been canceled. In some areas, the temperatures are 38 degrees below zero. You're listening to QNN.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of The Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At The Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at The Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Connecticut's Attorney General will investigate claims made by Coca-Cola and Nestle about a new energy drink in Vega. The green tea beverage contains caffeine, calcium, and a supplement called EGCG, which the companies claim will speed metabolism and energy use. Turner Broadcasting System will pay Boston $2 million to cover the cost of last week's marketing campaign that caused a bomb scare. The state attorney general said the agreement will prevent any civil or criminal claims against Turner and its contractor. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that NBC television executive Jeff Zucker will be named the chief executive of NBC Universal this week. He will succeed current head Bob Wright, who took over from Jack Welch in 1986. A joint statement today ends a long feud between Apple Inc. and the guardian of the Beatles' music. The two sides had disputed who has the right to the Apple trademark. The Detroit News is reporting that Chrysler will cut more than 10,000 jobs and close two factories in the U.S. as part of a restructuring plan. The chairman of Hyundai Motor was convicted today for embezzling $100 million in company funds. He was sentenced to 3 years in jail but plans to appeal. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $58.74 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 7 points, the Nasdaq down 6. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. Foxed Up here for a Tuesday morning on my part of the planet. It's probably Monday afternoon, evening, where you are on this beautiful blue marble we call planet Earth. And man, do we have stuff. Today, we have heaps and heaps of stuff today. First of all, got a big thank you. Mr. Zach Revich is producing the program today in Agnes's absence as the Kincaids are off in Alabama giving their last goodbyes to Bob's dad. And for those of you that have come by and left comments on the blog and made donations to the Flower Fund, thank you very much. The outpouring's been rather amazing, and whatever's left over from the flowers is going to be donated to the hospice house where Kenneth Kincaid spent his final days. So thank you all for that, and we should be hearing from Bob in the next couple of days once things settle down, and he'll do some broadcasting from Alabama. So, all right, kids, where are we going today? ExxonMobil. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. There's two connecting pieces. Out of the Huffington Post a couple days ago, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's just a champion of the environmental cause in my mind, wrote an amazing piece on exposing ExxonMobil at the Huffington Post.
It's just... it's sick what these folks get up to. It's just absolutely sick.
In a quarter-page advertorial, in Thursday's New York Times, ExxonMobil launched a new greenwashing campaign to salvage its earned reputation as the Earth's number one global warming villain.
my eyes are not awake. I just lost my spot. Ah, there we go. For over a decade, the giant oil company has waged a successful multi-million-dollar propaganda campaign to deceive the public about global warming. Using phony think tanks like the Competitive Enterprise Institute, scientists for hire called Biostutes, slick public relations firms and their indentured servants into the political process, they have intentionally defrauded the public by promoting the notion that global warming is a hoax or a sketchy theory that requires more study. The company now asserts that its position on global warming has been misunderstood, but its decade of mischief is well documented. Exxon has dished out at least $19 million since the negotiation of the Kyoto Protocol in 1997 to fund an elaborate network including over 75 industry front groups mobilized in a misleading campaign to cloud the public's understanding of global warming. Their objective has been to counterbalance the overwhelming scientific evidence of man-induced climate change with pseudoscientific denials to derail reforms that might affect corporate profits. In 2005, ExxonMobil paid over $3.5 million to 45 different front groups, according to the company's own records, which are collected each year by ExxonSecrets.org and Expose Exxon Coalition. A report released earlier this month by the Union of Concerned Scientists traced the roots of this fraudulent propaganda broadside and many of its prime actors back to the tobacco industry tactical war on science. And I've talked about this over and over recently, that these same hacks that go around trying to make claims that global warming isn't what all the science makes it up to be are the same people that were being paid to go out and deny the well-funded science that smoking causes cancer and death. They're the same people. So if they were liars then, they're liars now. And it just gets to be disgusting. It says Exxon has responded to roars of recent outrage over its antisocial antics by announcing that it has stopped funding the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which has collected over $2 million from the oil giant since 1998 to weave lies about climate change, and 4 to 5 other groups that Exxon refused to name. Exxon's new contrition is hardly sincere. The company still continues to fund 40 other groups in its unrelenting campaign of deception. 2 weeks ago, the Expose Exxon Coalition, comprised of America's most respected environmental groups, including NRDC, the Sierra Club, and USPIRG, asked Exxon to disclose the names of all other groups the company funded this year and the nature of the work they are doing for ExxonMobil. Exxon did not respond to the request. Funny that. As further evidence of the company's insincerity, Exxon's chief executive and CEO, Rex Tillerson, on Friday told world leaders in Davos that oil companies should not be held responsible for global warming. The blame, he argued, rests instead with the very consumers and government officials his company has spent millions of dollars manipulating and defrauding. Now, relating to that story, from GlobeAndMail.com, their business section, Exxon's outlandish earnings spark furor. This story comes out of Ottawa. It says the world's largest publicly owned oil company announced yesterday the largest corporate profit ever. But news of its near $40 billion U.S. windfall in 2006 sparked an angry backlash, coming on the eve of a major report blaming the use of fossil fuels and wreaking devastation on the planet. Now, this major international study that's just come out, I will get into later this week because I am going to read the thing in its entirety. So I'm saving comments on it. There was some trepidation about this particular report that certain things were going to be given rose-colored glass views, but it's come out to be pretty full-on and pretty strong, which is a good thing. But the piece here at GlobeAndMail.com continues saying, ExxonMobil Corp. was accused yesterday of using some of those unprecedented profits to fund a campaign to create skepticism about the impact of climate change in opposition to policies that would reduce the use of gasoline and other oil products. U.S. Democrats, who now control Congress, slammed the record profits as outlandish and vowed to raise taxes against Exxon and other oil companies in order to fund alternative fuels and technology to increase energy efficiency. I think we'll go to a break before I have a conniption. I can feel my face getting ready to split in the bright white light, ready to come out between the two hemispheres of my brain. So, folks, we're going to take our first break here on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Exxon and then do our track of the day. And we've got something from Days of the New. Oh, big surprise. John's going to play another Days of the New track, but I have a reason for it. So we're going to take this quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some more stuff. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back. Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us there are things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
The Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
And rock and roll.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network for the start of another week of broadcasting the lean, the mean, and the green. And we're going to go straight to the phones because we have Spike from Easton, PA on the line. Gonzo greetings, Spike. How you doing, mate?
Hey, Gonzo greetings in the land down under. How is it down there?
It's not too bad, man. We've actually had a minor bit of a respite from the nasty, nasty, nasty heat here, but the bushfires still rage all over the country. So it's a mixed bag around here, and we got floods up in Queensland. This place is just going crazy.
Well, if it makes you feel better, the high for the day here was I think 16 Fahrenheit. So if the heat's getting to you, just think of that extreme you could be going through right now.
Mate, I so miss four seasons.
Yeah.
You know, because I grew up in Jersey, man. I was used to four, you know, individual kind of equal seasons, and here you have summer and a thing that kind of represents autumn.
Real quick, I don't want to drift too much off subject being a goofball, but In Australia, are there any parts of Australia where they have the jug handle roads to make left turns because they don't have a left turn signal like Jersey? I've been all over the United States, and New Jersey is the strangest place to drive. It's just, I can't explain New Jersey other than it's New Jersey. Any other state in the union understands if you just put an arrow up on the light that blinks left and gives you the right way. That's how you do left turns. New Jersey's solution is like, let's pave like almost a quarter mile of extra pavement.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There's I remember down near the airport and whatnot. There's those crazy jug handle situations to get around and make those turns. Yeah. No, but what we have here in Australia that I wish the United States would kind of catch on to is the concept of the roundabout, because.
Right.
The roundabout, you know, which is you know, the intersection that actually has no lights but has this circular roadway in the middle.
We have something similar to that in Eastern, although there is a light involved, the circle. We have a monument in the center of it. And
okay, because they use these very commonly here where you know, you have an intersection, but the traffic isn't necessarily heavy enough to require a traffic light. But one of the things that's nice about the roundabouts is you don't have all these cars sitting there stopped and idling for ages on end at these intersections. And once you learn the rules of dealing with it, it's a really, really smooth way to facilitate traffic.
Yeah. You see that a little bit in old towns. Easton's one of the oldest places in Pennsylvania, so we have one. Gettysburg has one, I know, but they're very uncommon in most of the states, and still we don't quite do it as they do overseas, like London, which it's more like the Daytona 500 from the footage I've seen of those roundabouts. Yeah, I've never seen people just drive so out of, like, just when I think things are bad in America, just show me footage of people driving in London or people driving in India where the licenses, if you have $5, you have a license. And that's basically the only rule to traffic in India. And, you know, and so it's nice that there's order, but from what you're describing, it sounds better too, because we still end up sitting at the four entry points to the circle here in traffic if we're going to use it sometimes. Although that's done for the pedestrians. It's good at least we thought ahead to maybe protect people stumbling drunk and stoned to the parks in the center part and not make it where it's like Frogger or something.
Well, for a pedestrian in these situations, it does turn into a little bit like a Frogger situation. But I reckon that they have their use and their place. But unfortunately, most Americans they hear the term roundabout and they think about that scene in London from European Vacation where Chevy Chase can't get out of the roundabout because he can't figure out how to pull out of the damn thing.
Yeah, well, following the rules, I've had that problem happen to me in the circle here. People who don't know how to use the circle take the inside lane for far too long, and then you're squeezed out, so you got to go back around to get to the destination you want. But it's not to the level of Chevy Chase, but that has happened to me once or twice driving a circle here. But that's because it's people from out of town who don't understand it. It, you know, it, in a way, it's a shame more people don't learn about stuff like that. But you know,
but why do I have a feeling you didn't ring up to talk about roundabouts?
Well, I didn't, but it's a good segue because we're talking about the automobile. We're talking about petroleum, burning gas, and then that brings us into what you were speaking about, the record profits while, you know, crying welfare out of the big oil industry. And, you know, aside from Citgo, who, of course, we want to destroy their nation because they're not playing by the same book. But, you know, what I find interesting is if you really want to find maybe what's to come out of this, the fallout, it's just going to be a trickle-down effect, and we're starting to see the effects now. I mean, and not just by the fact that Toyota has become the number one automaker in the world and has actually put an emphasis on saving fuel, unlike American companies. I mean, that's an obvious point there, you know, when people are paying more for gas, why they're making the switch. And, you know, the oil companies are doing good now, but they're actually, the way they have created an industry and are operating, they're creating their own death, eventually, one would hope. And
Absolutely. And you know, the fact that we still subsidize the oil companies the way that we do is just absolutely ridiculous. When they, and not only that, I do believe that Nancy Pelosi wants to try and get all the back royalties that the oil companies have not been paying to the U.S. government for the last couple of decades.
Well, you know what I really love is it was about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was a lobbying effort to prevent the changing of the laws for SUVs in the United States, which SUVs get more lenient treatment basically in the laws than actual cars. And they get away with a lot. You know, they don't have to follow the same set of safety rules, efficiency rules, and you know, they get away basically with murder. And the people in the pocket of big oil and of the Detroit lobbyists in Washington were using these cockamamie bits about they couldn't see a farmer pulling, you know, a few thousand pounds of hay, you know, with and it shows a Prius, like he went and had to find the extreme of like the most rinky dink looking, you know, like basically they brought out the moped car to show of like, oh, you think anyone could pull a tractor trailer with this thing? I mean, just the most, I'm not even sure how the, something, I don't know if it's actually a clean word to say or not, but something not.
Well, you know, I mean, there's also a real big misconception about, you know, like electric-driven cars, you know, that they're supposedly wimpy, which is completely not the case.
Yeah.
Because with an electric motor, you actually have full torque from nothing all the way through to up to, you know, 13,000 revs, where a petrol motor has this very, very focused kind of peak area where it gets its full torque. And this is where, you know, Tesla Motors is absolutely blowing the whole concept out of the water. 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds, full torque from nothing.
Well, for that matter, I mean, in reality, Toyota is not as far away as people think from a full size, you know, full ton hybrid pickup truck.
Well, Phoenix.
You know,
Phoenix Motor Cars already has a fully electric pickup truck available in California.
Yeah.
And with a plug-in charge can carry five passengers and a full payload at 95 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Toyota truck being a ton, I mean, that thing could do actually serious towing, for that matter, an enclosed trailer. And the
other one that I think is fantastic is TNT Freighting Company in Europe is now actually releasing and starting to use fully electric lorries, 8.5-ton lorries that are fully plug-in electric.
What is a lorry?
A lorry, sorry, it's the English word for a cargo truck. So your eight ton moving truck.
Yeah, they're kind of like the hogged out looking van, the best version.
Well, yeah, but you know, like a typical 12 foot straight truck.
Okay.
12 foot deep that carries 8 tons. You rent them from U-Haul all the time. They now actually have developed a completely electric one, and they're releasing them into their fleet this year. And they end up costing about a quarter of the fuel costs for the company.
Yeah.
And they have no problem pulling 8.5 tons of stuff.
It's the lobbying interest, more so within the United States, but really North America as a whole, and even South America. They're the ones who have essentially prevented this technology from really spreading. You know, people don't understand the lobbying control. I mean, obviously someone listening to this network might have a little bit of a clue, but the average American doesn't have a... the finger between your pointing and ring finger on your hand clue about what really goes on. They think when you talk about this, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're some crackpot, you know, smoking crack cocaine on your back porch, you know, while watching a Tom Hanks movie, kind of just wacko. And you know, it's the reality that the average person just doesn't comprehend in this country. You know, Detroit and Big Oil have lobbied for extremes. People are finally catching on slightly with the war in Iraq, but they still just do not understand the scope of just the lobbying power. Certain lobbying groups in this country hold ridiculous amount of power, and perhaps the most dangerous are the petroleum pimps, as Hunter S. Thompson referred to them.
Absolutely.
These are the most scoundrelous and heartless of them all. You know, I mean, and then mm-hmm. when you mention other lobby groups, you sound like a crazy too, or they paint you out to be crazy. You know, my personal favorite, anytime you mention a Jewish lobby group, someone from the right, that's a neo-Nazi saying that, when there's actually a group who lobbies about Israel, you know, in Washington, like that, they hold these big money ceremonies, and basically, you know, if you look at who's there, it's your Dick Cheney, it's your neoconservatives, and
I know the subject really well because my good friend Anthony Lowenstein, whose book is going to be released in the United States in April, My Israel Question, cops the worst of the abuse for asking those very questions, because he is an Australian young Jewish man, and he believes that, you know, the Palestinians have as much right to security as anyone else, and the out of balance reactions from Israel are unwarranted. And he talks about the Israel lobby, and he's constantly being labeled by the Jewish news and other press organizations as a self-hating Jew, which I have real trouble swallowing. And in fact, Anthony's got an opinion piece in the Sydney Morning Herald today on Refuseniks internationally, where Jews around the world are not backing the Zionist movement anymore because it's actually lost its way from where it started. And it's a really, really great piece, so I'd suggest going to the Sydney Morning Herald website and checking out Anthony's piece in the opinion section today. It's very much on what you're speaking of there. But Spike, we're coming up. We're way past the break, so I'm gonna have to drop you off. But it's so great to talk to you, man. And you're absolutely right about these lobby groups. And we gotta stop the incentives for the oil companies. Move all that money to renewables and new technology. And like you said about Detroit, the governor of Michigan is actually invited Tesla Motor Cars to set up an R&D place in Detroit. So maybe finally there are people in that area that are waking up to the fact that this is the future of transportation. And if the audio, if the hub of automakers in America wants to actually be in on the game, they need to get in on it now.
Well, the point I forgot, that's such a scatterbrain of all real quick, is Ford had record losses this year. They couldn't sell anything because all they have is a line of SUVs. I mean, and their cars are, you know, land yachts that senior citizens might cruise around in, but they're just huge gas guzzling gigantic things, like, you know, you'd expect an unmarked cop car to be. And you know, they're learning the hard way by not, look, even though they had, quote, a hybrid, it was the most inefficient of any that have been marketed by the big automakers. surprise, surprise, and they're suffering the consequences harsher than anyone else, and rightfully so, considering how they like everyone else in Detroit, have truly turned their back on America. But
absolutely.
I just want to say real quick, there's lots of lobby groups, you know, that I didn't just pick that third one because I'm Pat Buchanan, but anyways, I want to go, and I just want to say also that tomorrow in my town, I'll be at a press conference. Someone's announcing that he'll be running for the Democratic nomination for mayor, and I'm the campaign coordinator.
Oh, right on.
So I guess I should, to a degree, control myself now in public. I can't go totally gone on the campaign here, and I got to be on my best behavior and not say anything about it.
Well, right on, Spike. Well, you'll have to keep this posted after this announcement, exactly who it is and all that, and I wish you the best of luck with your involvement in this campaign that is about to be announced. So, man, great to speak to you. We're going to head out to this break, and we'll talk to you soon, mate.
All right, man.
All right, and that was our good mate Spike from Easton, PA. Gonzo, gonzo, gonzo greetings. So we're going to take this very, very late break right here and come back and do our track of the day and cover a few other bits. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. distance from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored, hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of manicism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight manicism.
Protect yourself from manicism. Log on to fightmanicanism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And to sing it, a young singer who I think has a lot of courage, because this is a dark song, and he does it fearlessly. From Days of the New, Travis Meeks.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that, getting ready to start there, is a very, very cool version of The End, which is Travis Meeks from Days of the New with the surviving members of The Doors. And you can actually see a video clip of that performance if you go to travismeeks.com, and you can download that video clip. And I'm telling you, close your eyes and you'll swear. You will swear that it's the man himself. It's just, it's spooky. But we're going to do a different Days of the New track. And so, you know, I do a bit of this Days of the New stuff because I always just figure this is a band that got missed by a lot of people, and I've just always thought we're truly unique, and I don't know, I've just got a thing for the way that this guy puts his material together. And this track is called Die Born, and the reason that I'm playing this is just a couple nights ago I was playing this album, and Gail, my missus, was outside working on her plants, and suddenly her you know, brain just locked in on the lyric for the first time and just said, wow, I really like the sentiment of this song. And it's, I don't know, it's one of these tracks that you can pull kind of whatever you want from it. But for the guitar tragics out there, I've been trying to figure this one out, and I believe it's in something, some insane tuning like D-A-D-A-D-E, which is like a lute tuning. And have a listen to the guitar arrangement at the top of this. They're just two guitars that play unison and then vary from one another just slightly here and there, and it creates just this great, just layered kind of voicing of this riff, and it's just some outrageous stuff. And I just also like the fact that this guy sings in a really nice masculine baritone, sings like a real guy. And it just, I dig this dude, and just for the only reason that Gail caught on to this and has suddenly gotten entranced with this song, and I happen to think that this is a great tune. Without further ado, Days of the New and Die Born. Roll it, Zach.
Makes me humble, yeah. is not my home, and it feels at all.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from Mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready?
But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way.
You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready?
Not.
Ready.
Girls on the avenue, they're trying to get you in.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that there was just another brilliant track by Mr. Travis Meeks and Days of the New. And a bit of trivia on that album, you know, the album released the week after the attacks on 9/11 2001. And as I've said many times, talk about having something throw a serious monkey wrench into your PR campaign. But just a fantastic album. All three records are great. The second one is particularly compelling. There's a full Celtic orchestra and a Celtic choir, and it just goes everywhere. Now, Gene, our news ninja, just sent me this, and this. All right, Spike. I reckon that this is those very lobbyists you were talking about getting their way. Poll. Only 13% of congressional Republicans believe in man-made global warming. That's right, only 13%. This is from Think Progress. The National Journal has released a new congressional insiders poll, which surveyed 113 members of Congress, 10 Senate Democrats, 48 House Democrats, 10 Senate Republicans, and 45 House Republicans about their positions on global warming. The results were startling. Only 13% of congressional Republicans say they believe in human activity is causing global warming. Sorry, I'm choking just trying to read it. Compared to 95% of congressional Democrats. Moreover, the number of Republicans who believe in human-induced global warming has actually dropped since April 2006, when the number was 23%. The last congressional insiders poll on global warming was released in April 2006. Subsequently, in June 2006, the National Academy of Sciences, an independent organization created by Congress to provide scientific guidance, unequivocally concluded that natural causes cannot explain the unprecedented warmth over the last 400 years. Rather, human activities are responsible for much of the recent warming, the report says. In February 2007, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change concluded for the first time that global warming is unequivocal and that human activity is the main driver, very likely causing more of the rise in temperatures since 1950. Nevertheless, belief in global warming amongst Republicans in Congress dropped by 10 points. Dropped by 10 points! I mean, the science just seem to make the stupid more stupid? It's unbelievable. I mean, talk about walking around with the bloody blinders on, you know? I mean, this is Schultz all over, you know? I know nothing. Absolutely insane! And, I mean, do these people answer this poll with a straight face? Or is there that chimpy, I'm getting away with something full of bull smirk going on? Is there like, no. I mean, it can't be sincere. Either that or you're just really, really, really dumb. I mean, you only have to open up the paper, any newspaper on any day. Even a right-wing paper is going to have reports from you know, these scientific journals saying that we are in grave, grave danger right now. And the fact that the United States is at least a decade or more behind.
on making the changes. And it's just really ridiculous. And yes, Gene, I vote for really dumb. Yeah, it's beyond, you know. I mean, we're way beyond plausible deniability. You know, you know, it's like that idea that gravity is a theory. However, it's a really, really well founded theory. I just don't know what to make of these people. But there's no surprise, though, because, I mean, we really are getting down to a real line in the sand between the public who are waking up, if it's not because of what they're paying at the petrol pump, or, you know, the fact that they're living in, say, you know, North Dakota, like our mate Bob, who is able to go out in shorts in the middle of winter because it's only, you know, 50-some degrees, when he should be shin, maybe knee-deep in snow. And you look at the strange storms that have been going on in the UK, the 5 running on 6-year drought that's going on here in Australia, the bushfires that are at unprecedented levels here in Australia, the fact that bad air quality days in Australia, especially in Sydney, are just through the roof from last year. And the simple fact, there was a story just that I reported, I believe, last week, that pollution in New York City is actually affecting Londoners. And where we this has to be a global effort. The whole thing has to be a global and coordinated effort. Or else, you know, if the UK actually got their act together, it might not actually make much difference for them if the United States keeps spewing out the crap the way that they do, because, well, it just goes flying over there with the trade winds. You know, it's all connected. You know, it's like that old Chinese doctor joke, you know, the American goes in for a headache and the guy starts manipulating his feet and he says, "Hey, man, I came in with a headache, you know, you're playing with my feet, it's not connected." And he goes, "Stupid American, whole thing connected." Same thing applies for the environment. The whole thing is interconnected. We cannot act autonomous to the rest of the world, and that goes for Australia, that goes for the United States, that goes for the UK, this goes for China, this goes for India. It has to be a global effort, or else we're all screwed. And, you know, I don't mean to come off as a doomsdayer, but it's just the simple facts that we are already down a really, really bad path, and we need to reverse gears, and fast. Because we just don't have the time to play games. So with that, folks, we're going to wrap it up for today, and I thank you so much for joining me today. Today's program was produced by Mr. Zach Rebich. Thank you so much, mate, for coming in and filling the chair for Agnes. You're fantastic. Thank you to Ben Birch at White Rose. He's still running his fundraiser. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything they do for us. Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions, thank you for the music. Thank you to our mods and our bloggers. And thank you to Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers for everything that you do for us. And don't forget, you can go to the blog and leave your messages for the Kincaid family, just to pass them on your good thoughts with the situation that they're going through at the moment. So, folks, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We will see you tomorrow.
Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the
world. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour. Come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold. Death is a moving upon my soul. Oh, death.